The Mishnah in Kiddushin Daf Chavav Amid Aleph, one of the Mishnahs with which we began the year back in Elul, talks about Kinyanim. Talks about how do I make something mine? And as we discussed then, in order for an item, an asset to transfer ownership, you need two ingredients: Das Kinyan and a Maisa Kinyan. If Akiva owns a shirt, or Akiva owns a drill or a bottle of Gatorade, if he's not interested in transferring ownership of it to me, so then it's not going to become mine. Step number one is he has to have Das Kinyan. But if Akiva makes the decision that he wants to transfer ownership of the remaining ounce of Gatorade to me, he has Das Kinyan. That alone is not sufficient. That's how the Rambam opens Hilchos Mechira. Ein Hamekach Nikne B'Dvarim. You don't transfer ownership of an item merely through wanting it to transfer, or even saying that it's going to transfer. Ein hamekach nikne bedvarim. Das alone is necessary, but not sufficient. You need, in addition to das kinyan, you need to have a maisa kinyan. So if Akiva wants the Gatorade to become mine, and I do a maisa kinyan on the Gatorade, das kinyan plus maisa kinyan, then talk of the kinyan schal, and the ownership of the Gatorade transfers from Akiva to me. So what constitutes a Maisa Kinyan? So that brings us to that Mishnah Kiddushin Dav Chavav Amud Aleph, in the latter half of the first parak of Kiddushin, where the Mishnah mentioned, a number of the Mishnahs over the course of the first parak of Kiddushin talk about which Kinyanim work for which sorts of items, which can first the Mishnahs begin with non-financial Kinyanim, with Kinyanim that affect personal status, Kiddushin and Gerushin and so forth. But then the Mishnahis transfer to talking about buying and selling, monetary, financial kinyanim, commercial kinyanim. And the Mishnahis say that different types of items lend themselves to different types of kinyanim. Specifically, the Mishnah Dav Chavav talks about the differentiates between karka and metalton. For karka, it's kesef shtar and chazaka, that's kinyan chazaka. And we spoke about the first day of the year. Right, the tikkun akarka gnol gadur parat, those are kinyanei karka. So if I wanted to buy Akiva's house or Akiva's factory or Akiva's farm, if I wanted to buy Akiva's karka, so I could take possession of his karka by paying him for it, kesef. But the Mishnah says either min haTorah or at least midrabanan, kesef does not work to be kona metaltalim. If I want to buy your bottle of Gatorade, if you want to sell it to me, I have to pay you for it. If I don't pay you for it, I'm a ganav. But paying for it alone does not make it mine. Paying for karka does make it mine. But paying for metaltalim does not make it mine. Ma'os, or kesef, is not a valid kinyan on metaltalim. Again, discussion elsewhere is minatar mujabaran, but certainly halacha lamaisa. Paying for metaltalim does not make it mine. Metaltalim, movable objects, the Mishnah says, Mashicha will work. Delivery, actually taking it. When I go to Boyarsky's bodega, there's a nice ring to it, a little alliteration there. I go to Boyarsky's bodega to get myself a bottle of blue Gatorade. How many beads can we line up at once? Famous letter in the those who hold the Chaim Soloveitchik, and that's just the letter B. I'm Avin Yavin. So I go to Boyarsky's bodega to buy a bottle of blue Gatorade. There's some things are more important than alliteration. So when I pay him for it, it doesn't become mine. When I walk out of the store with it, then I did a king mashicha on that bottle, and now the bottle of Gatorade is mine. Das Kinyan plus the Maisa Kinyan makes the king actually bichal, and different category, different types of items have different associated valid Maisa Kinyan. And specifically, Kesef works for Karaka, but not for Metaltum. That basic, those basics of Kinyanim are the backdrop for understanding what otherwise seems like an awkward case here in Bav Metzia Daf Kuf. Let's take a look at the Mishnah. The top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Hamachlev Parah Bachamor V'Yolda. So we're swapping a cow, a female cow, for a donkey, and the cow gives birth. Or mocher shivchaso v'yalda,
or a fellow is selling the shivcha whom he owns, and then she gives birth. So what's the issue? Zeh omer ad shel macharti, v'zeh omer mishel lakachti. One says it was before I sold, and the other one says it was once I bought. In other words, the mocher says that the leida occurred before the mechira, before I sold you the shivcha, before I sold you the para, either of which is female pregnant, was pregnant. So the mocher claims that the birth occurred before the kinyan. The lokeach claims, no, the birth occurred after the kinyan. Why do you care? Right? The point of no return is the moment of the Maisa Kinyan. The moment of Maisa Kinyan is, number one, when neither one can back out. And number two, it's when the details of the Kinyan are set in stone. So was the baby included or not? Well, unless otherwise specified, the Mishnah implies, a baby, I'm telling you, a mother, it doesn't necessarily follow that the already born baby is included as well, but if the mother is still pregnant, so then obviously the fetus is included in the kinyan. So the question is, was it still pregnant b'shas kinyan, or was it no longer pregnant b'shas kinyan? So the mocher says, ad shel macharti, the leida took place before the kinyan, which means at the moment of kinyan, the mocher claims the mother is no longer pregnant, and therefore the newborn baby is not included, which means the newborn baby still belongs to the mocher. So the mocher tainas that the baby is his. The baby was not included in the kinyan. Of course I sold you the mother cow, but the calf was already born. It was not included, and I keep the calf. That's what the mocher claims. And Lokech says no. Lokech says the cow was born, the cow only gave birth subsequent to the kinyan. You sold me a cow, a pregnant cow, including the fetus, and then my cow gave birth. My cow gave birth after it became mine. So, bekitzer, a sichzuch between the mocher and lokeach, who owns the young calf? Why the complicated case? How the donkey get into this Mishnah? Or what's the donkey doing in the Mishnah? This is a Mishnah about a para. So why do we have to? Why have to mix in a treifa animal? What's a donkey doing in the Mishnah?
The other part of the.
The answer is because of Kiddushin Dav Chava, because a para is metaltalim, and therefore the typical way the typical Maisa Kinyan you would do on a para is one which directly operates on the para. You would do Meshicha or maybe Mesira. You do some sort of Kinyan or another. I'll whistle to the cow when it walks over. Maybe I'll take it by the reins and move it over. I'll bring the cow into my truck, into my barn, a Kinyan Chatzar. Typically, Kinyanim Metaltlim are directly operate. The Maisa Kinyan is being done to the Metaltlim. If the Maisa Kinyan is being done to the Metaltlim, if it was a typical Meshicha or Chatzar, so there's no Shaila. What do you mean? Did the cow give birth before or after the Kinyan? We were all there. We were all watching. Either gave birth before or gave birth after. It's unless someone's gaslighting very, very effectively, which is a terrible mizara, if you're doing Meshicha, there's no suffix. That's why the Mishnah gives the case of Chalipin. Because Chalipin is a unique, rare kinyan that works on Metaltalim remotely. In other words, what's Chalipin? Machlepar b'chamar. That means that I have a donkey and you have a cow, and we would decide to swap. So once one of us makes a kinyan on one of them with Meshicha, let's say, the other one automatically is Kona the other one with Chalipin. In other words, so let's say if Emmet owns a donkey farm, South Phoenix, and I own a cow farm, Bergenfield. So the Emmet has loads of donkeys, but Emma's desirous in diversifying his holdings a little bit. He'd like to have a cow. And I up in northern Bergenfield, I like to diversify my holdings a little bit and add a donkey to my portfolio. So Emmett and I meet in the middle, and we negotiate, and we agree that he's going to give me, what do we say again? I have cows, you have donkeys. So Emma's going to give me one of his donkeys, and I'm going to give him one of my cows. So how are we going to do that? So one thing you could do is, I can make a Mashiach on his donkey, and he can make a Mashiach on my cow. Okay, that's Kinyan Mashiach. But the Tanaim tell us, even though it doesn't, the Tanaim tell us that there's also a Kinyan called Kinyan Chalipin. What's Kinyan Chalipin? If I go to Emmett's farm, and I schlep a donkey with me, I do a Mashiach on a donkey, so I was just coated the donkey with Kinyan Mashiach, but since if we already agreed to it, so then Emmett automatically, at the moment that I do Mashiach on the donkey, I'm coating the donkey, and he's coating my cow, which is a few miles away in Bergenfield. I'm coating the donkey with a Kinyan Mashiach, and he's simultaneously coating the cow with a Kinyan Chalipin. Oh! So all of a sudden, now we have a remote Kinyan on Metaltlum. That's why the Mishnah schlepped in the donkey. Because Chalipin is an opportunity to have a case where Emmet and I agree that he took possession of my cow at 12:05 p.m. But the problem is, neither of us was there. So I left my farm at 11 in the morning. I traveled down to South Teaneck, to the Weiss donkey farm. And at 12:05 we did the Kinyan. The Edom were all there. It's all documented. Everyone saw that at 12:05 p.m. I took the reins of his donkey and walked it out to the street, and I thereby was calling his donkey, and he was thereby at 12:05 calling my para, which is still up in Bergenfield. So then we schmooze some more, and then an hour later we head back to Bergenfield because Emmett's going to pick up his cow, and he comes to my farm at 1:30 in the afternoon, and lo and behold, Mazel Tov, the cow has given birth over the couple of hours that we were gone. And now the shaila is, when did it give birth? Before 12:05 or after 12:05? That's just not no lumdus. That's just understanding pasha pshat in the Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah talking about Chalipin? The answer is because the whole point of the scenario, we're looking for a scenario where a kinyan occurred when we were not near the item, where a kinyan was done on a mother remotely. And so the Nenela, subsequently, we're going to say, we know that it gave birth somewhere around the Shas Kinyan, but we're not sure if it was before or after. And the Mocher and Lokech, obviously, each have a preferred narrative. The Mocher's narrative is, I never sold you the Egel. The Egel must have been born before, and it was not included in the Kinyan. And the Lokech's narrative is, no, you did sell me the Egel, because it only gave birth after the Shas Kinyan. So that is the Mishnah. A shivcha has the status al pidin for kinyanim purposes. Eved kinanis, shivcha kinanis have the same kinyanim as karka, not as metaltlim. Why is a good question, but not for now. But that's why there's no chalipin necessary with the shivcha. The shivcha is just mocha, because you did a kinyan kesef. That's an easy remote kinyan. But if you talk about para is classified as metaltlim, so you need to be a little more creative. To have a remote kinyan, you have to talk about machal para bachama. Okay, so that's the background. The Maisa, moving from the logistics of the Kinyanim to the core pith of the Sugya in terms of Safek Mamon. The backdrop, the context, is Kinyanim. But the core issue is how do you deal with the Torah Safekus issue. So what does the Mishnah say? Lamaisa, when all is said and done, how do we work out the case? Lamaisa, again, Emmett has a donkey farm and he was calling one of my cows. Right? And I agree. I freely agree that I did sell him a cow, but what we're disputing, what's in contention, is did he also take possession of the calf or not? So what does the Mishnah say? A suffix, whether I own the calf or he owns the calf. So what does the Mishnah say? Back at right half of the room, right? So a matter of perspective, right from my perspective. I don't mean this politically, just geographically. Split it, right? The Mishnah says split it. Not, I know that some guys may have, Baruch Hashem, some people actually have learned Sefer from Malachim, so there was some over the course of morning Sefer, there were some references to the famous story. One of the rarest haftaras, by the way, of the entire year. For those who are calendar people, I believe that the haftara of Chochma Shlomo is one of the rarest haftaras of the year. Not as rare as Prakim and Tanakh. Most Prakim and Tanakh are never haftara, but all of those Prakim and Tanakh that are on the list as haftaras, that's one of the rarest because of the nuances of the calendar. Okay, so some guys are now having a good fun with Allah. We'll cut the baby in half. We'll see who. That's obviously not what the Mishnah means. Yachloku here doesn't mean gezoru, as in Sefer Malachim. We don't mean that Rachman is telling you to take a saw to the calf. That would be terrible to our balachai. What we do mean, how do we do yachloku? Either you could shecht the calf and split the meat, that's one option. Alternatively, we mean financially, yeah? Right, either sell it to the highest bidder and split the proceeds, or one of these two people will buy out the other person's half. Okay, yachloku, yachloku. So what, yeah? So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, 1 second, here we come back to Bava Kama, Daf Mem Vav. My yachloku, why is that the talk? What yachloku? I understand. Emmet claims that the calf is his, and I claim that the calf is mine. The moment I'm a tuba safik. V'lechzi b'shus t'man kaima. So why yachloku? We don't have any better tool than that. Let's see, v'lechzi, why don't you see b'shus t'man kaima, b'shuso shel mi. Man, as you know, is Aramaic for me, for who? And kaima is like kayam, standing. B'shus t'man kaima. And the b'shus of whom is the para located? Let's see where the par is located. They'll tell me who the muchzik is. Because, as I said yesterday, muchzik, and this was a source of some confusion over the course of morning Seder, just to clarify, muchzik, if I know who owns something, so I don't need muchzik. We know who owns it. Like the para. The mother para, everyone agrees that the para now belongs to Emmet. So you don't need muchzik for that. Not a suffix mama. Muchzik is when you do not, muchzik doesn't mean it's yours. Muchzik is not the same as it is yours. When you don't know who owns something, so then you want to say, well, who's the muchzik? Muchzik means I don't know for sure that it's yours, but you have possession of it. Like the Gemara says right here. B'shus t'man kaima. If an item is in your property, A, it's in your possession, and B, you claim that it's yours, so then you're a muchzik. Combination of physical possession plus the taina that it's yours. So the Gemara says, well, the eagle is in someone's property. Whose property? Probably the one who is selling the cow. Because probably the most likely scenario, as I described before, is that we do the chalipin over on the donkey farm, then you come back to the cow farm to pick up the cow that you just bought. And then, lo and behold, alongside the cow is the calf. So the calf is in, on the property of the cow farmer, the mocher. So probably the mocher is the muchzik, and therefore you should keep the eagle. It's conceivable that the cow had already been delivered to the other farm before. Whatever the case is, whoever has possession of it, he's the muchzik. He claims it's his. He has possession. So that's the end of the story. So what type of yachloku? Yeah.
Shouldn't there be some like situation that, oh, I'm not selling you a pregnant cow?
Yeah. So well, right. So. Joey makes an important point that, as is the case in many cases in Dini Mamonos, and cases of Dini Mamonos are examples of interpersonal relationships, and it's true in many interpersonal relationships in general, better communication makes things much better. It's true in emotional relationships, it's true in business relationships. Many shilas would be avoided if everyone would negotiate and communicate and spell everything out in advance. And that's often the role of a good lawyer in a contract situation, is to think through what are all the possibilities, what are all the open questions, and let's talk it out in advance, and let's decide, and let's put it down on paper, instead of leaving things hanging, and then stuff happens, life happens, and now we have to figure out who, what, when, where. Right. The middle four prag of Bava Basra are all about, I told you I'm selling you a house. What does a house mean? Well, you move into the house and there are no doorknobs. So you say, hey, where are the doorknobs? Say, I sold you the house, I didn't sell you the doorknobs. Well, that's a little ridiculous. Obviously, doorknobs are included. Yeah, on the other hand, if you come to the house, you came to see my house and you wanted to decide you wanted to buy it. Okay, so I get movers and I clear out the house. Right? You move in. They're like, hey, where's the dining room table? I was like, dining room table? I didn't say dining room table, I sold your house. No, I sold the dining room table. Right? So obviously, on the one extreme, dining room table is not included in a bias. On the other extreme, doorknobs and electrical outlets probably are included in bias. Right? In the middle is something like a chandelier. That sometimes is a discussion. Was the chandelier included? No, I'll leave you with a bulb. I'm not going to leave you with my great-grandmother's $10,000 crystal chandelier. Or the refrigerator. Was the refrigerator included? Maybe. Maybe not. That's sort of Was a washer dryer included? Probably. Maybe not. Right? So those are sort of in between. So the middle four prakim of Bava Basra are Mishnayos, are mostly about that topic. I'm selling you a boat. I'm selling you a house. I'm selling you whatever. So what's included? The best solution is not to look at the Mishnayos. The best solution is to negotiate and communicate in advance and put it in the contract. And a well-written contract to sell a house will spell out that the chandelier is included and the refrigerator is not included. Okay. But if you don't talk about it, so that's when you have the middle four prakim Bava Basra. I said I'm selling you a bias, a svina, this or that, what's included? Right? They would have to, what we really should have done is discussed. We don't know whether it gave birth or not. So let's decide. Are we selling the egg or also not selling the egg? Yeah, but that would be boring. I mean, that should happen most of the time, and then you don't need the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is, let's talk about a case where they didn't do that, and then you talk have a din Torah, and now you have to figure out what to do. And the question is, what should we do? Yeah.
But like, in Rebbe's case, it's a cow farm. I mean, you don't have to choose the cow that gave birth. You can choose the cow that didn't give birth.
Yeah, but we had specified. He specified it in advance which cow. Yeah, he specified which cow was. Yeah. Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Let's take a look inside. Amay Yachloku, with Mishnah says Yachloku, the Gemara says that doesn't seem the right psak. The psak should be Muchsuk wins, not Yachloku. So what does the Gemara answer? Or Vichir Bar Oven, or Shmuel, Baomedes Baagam. You're right, says Vichir Bar Oven. He quotes Shmuel that. This, by the way, that the case is specifically where the egel is not located in anyone's property. The egel is at an agam. It's in a marsh. It's in a forest. It's in a public park. You come back to pick up the cow, and either both the cow and the egel, or at least the egel, wandered away. And or maybe for days it's been. Maybe the guy lets his animals hang out in the public forest. So no one's muchzuk. The mocher is not muchzuk. It's not in his backyard. In a public space. There is no muchzuk. By the way, just as an aside, just basic Gemara basics. Probably you know this, but maybe just in case the terminology is not clear. The type of teret that Shmuel just gave has a name. The type of teret that Shmuel just gave was to take a general sounding Mishnah and say it's only talking about one specific subcase. The Mishnah doesn't say where the egel is. The Mishnah just says machapar bachamar. Shmuel comes and says, "Hach." He didn't use the word "hach mayaskinan," but often we would. "Hach mayaskinan." We're talking specifically about where machapar bachamar and the egel is located in agam. We call that and what type of teretz? Okimta. Okimta. Right? Okimta is where you take a general sounding statement. And you're mukim it. The noun is an ukimta, the verb would be to mukim, to steadily, in Hebrew would be to make him. You stand it up. You take this mishnah and you stand it up in one particular subcase. That's what Shmuel says, nukim to pshat. And the whole mishnah is in a chanami. A normal, typical case, the mishnah, not, and hopefully people negotiate and communicate in advance. Even if not, 99% of the time, you're not going to say yachloku because someone's a muchzuk and he wins. Why did the Mishnah say that? Probably because that's pasha. Of course we know. We don't need the Mishnah. We know from other Mishnahs. The Mishnah's our case. Let's say it's an interesting case. They didn't negotiate and there's no muchzuk. Oh, there's no muchzuk because the eagle, which is the calf, which is in contention, is out in the forest. Oh, so then the din is yachloku. See, the para is omedes ba'agam, or if you're dealing with a shifra, she's kind of not so likely that the shifra and her newborn baby are wandering around the forest. It's not a likely place for a convalescent mother to be. So the Gemara says it's kind of a simta. The shifra is put the baby in the stroller, and they're walking down the street. She's on the sidewalk in the simta. So vayter, no one's muchzuk. Because she's out in a public space. Okay. So that's the Gemara's teretz. Omedes ba'agam. But then the Gemara says, I have another kasha. Okay, so I understand, no, it's a muchzuk, but still, v'nuk ma'cheskes demara karma. If you're not going to follow muchzuk, why not follow cheskes demara karma? Why follow the chazaka of mara karma is ba'ilim harishonim. Like, bava karma is the first bava, mara karma is the first owner, meaning no one's a muchzuk because right now it's ba'agam. But one thing I do know is that yesterday the para and the eagle that was still at that point tucked inside of the para belonged, yesterday they belonged to the mocher. I don't know who owns the eagle now, but I don't know whether the mocher owns the eagle or kech owns the eagle, but I do know that the mocher owned the eagle yesterday. So if there's no muchzuk, I should follow Marakamu, who is the last known owner, the previous owner, the first owner. Yeah?
Why should that matter if who owned it yesterday?
Oh, great question. So the Gemara here is assuming, and elsewhere also, that this is also a rule. Remember I mentioned to you yesterday, when we were transitioning from Bava Kama and Daf Mevav, that in Bava Kama and Daf Mevav, the Gemara said, the rule is, a Safik Mamun, muchzuk wins. So that's one possible rule. It's not the only rule. What do you do when there's no muchzuk? So there are actually six different possible outcomes, six different tools. One of them is muchzuk wins. Another one, we're going to meet another two, one or two right here, and we're going to meet the rest of the team and when we get to Bava Basra, Daf Lama, Dal, Daf Lama, Hey. So one possible answer to Safik Mamun is muchzuk wins. Another answer, that's one, is follow the muchzuk. Another possible answer to a Safik Mamun is Marakama wins. Whoever's the Marakama, he gets to keep it. Now, what the Gemara makes clear is that here that now I have two rules, you might already be thinking, oh, two rules, like Rov and Chazaka. So you have Rov and you have Chazaka. So one of the natural questions, which the Gemara indeed raised, is what are you doing when they're in conflict? You have to have a hierarchy. So you say Rov and Chazaka, the hierarchy was, generally, Rov trumps Chazaka. So how about Muchzak and Marakama? It can happen all the time that the Muchzak is not the Marakama. So what's the hierarchy? How do you know that Muchzak? Right, because the Gemara said, if there's no Muchzak, follow Marakama. So you see, obviously, there's a Muchzak, Marakama is irrelevant. Okay, so some point now we know Muchzak is number one, Marakama is number two. But in the absence of any, if there was a Muchzak, Muchzak wins. But in the absence of any Muchzak, so then our second resort should be look at the Marakama. And don't tell me there's no Marakama here. Clearly there is a Marakama. There could be scenarios of no Marakama. We don't know who owned the yesterday either. But here we do. It's a mocher lokeach. So obviously, until the Shas Kinyan, it belonged to the mocher. The question is, at Shas Kinyan, did it transfer to lokeach? So we know there is. We could look back at a point in time in the past at which ownership was known. We don't know what the story is now. So follow Marakama. So what's the Gemara's answer to that? Why don't we follow Marakama? Why Viter? They're not Yachloku. If you're not going to follow Muchzak, follow Marakama. But whether you follow Muchzak or Marakama, either way, there's one person who's winning 100%. We're not doing it 50-50. So how did the Mishnah come to say 50-50? So what's going to answer? Oh, Sumchas. Hamani. The Gemara says, why not say Mchesus Marakama v'lehevi idda chamotu v'raya? And Marakama should win. The other guy, if Lokeach wants, right, in our scenario before, I was the one who was selling the para to Emmet. So I'm the Marakama, because until the Shas Kinyan, the eagle was mine. Emmet claims he bought it. I claim he did not. So if I'm the Marakama, if no one, neither of us is a Muchzak, then well, I'm the Marakama, and Emmet's going to have to prove. Emmet's going to have to find Adim who saw when the Leda occurred. And if we don't, we're not Mavarit, I'm going to keep it based on Chezkas Marakama. So the Gemara says, that's true, but not according to Simchas. Hamani Sumchas. Who's the Tana of the Mishnah Sumchas? The Amar Mama Mutl B'Safik Cholkin Below Shvua. Sumchas says that when you have a Safik Mamon, the answer is Yachloku. So the Chacham would say Cheskas Marakama, but this Mishnah follows Sumchas, who says no. Safik Mamon is Yachloku. By the way, remember I mentioned to you that when we started with Bava Kama Efim Vav, that Tosis and Bava Vav and Alv starts talking about how do we paskin like Sumchus like the Chachamim. Tosis say, remember what did Tosis say? Who do we paskin like? Chachamim. What was Tosis Raya? Because right, the whole sugya is Alib the Chachamim, Rav and Shmuel. Now the reason why Tosis had to say that is twofold. Number one, there are a few Rishonim who do paskin like Sumchus. The Rif probably passes like Simchus. The Rashbam passes like Simchus. The Tosis is disagreeing, and it's not just they happen to pass like Simchus. What led the Rif? What would lead one to believe he should pass like Simchus? Two Stam Mishnayos. both the Stam Mishnah here in Bava Tzidin Daf Kuf and the Stam Mishnah in Bava Kama Daf and Bav, in both cases the Gemara says, oh, that Mishnah is Sumchas. The Chachamim would say something else, but Sumchas says Yachok, and the Mishnah is following Sumchas. Wow. So that's why, now on the face of it, two Stam Mishnahs like Sumchas, that sounds like pretty strong evidence you should pass like Sumchas. And indeed, there are a small minority Rishon who did say you pass like Sumchas. That's the Tosfos have to say. We don't hold that way. Most Rishonim don't pass like Sumchas, despite the fact that you do have two Stam Mishnahs, which is pretty strong. On the other hand, the Amoraim don't seem to be talking that language. So it seems like Rav and Shmuel, all the others, assume that despite the Stam Mishnah, we don't paskin. The Stam Mishnah is follow Sumchas, but the Amoraim did not paskin that way. Okay. Now, yeah, questions? I also want to get to at least begin Tosis. Yeah.
Why did it go through that Shachar and Karyam? Why did it go through the first wash? You can ask, why don't we split it? Because he was harping on the assumption that if there was a Mosuk, then we would have a Mosuk.
Wow! We should call him Shmuel. Because he was just Mechavit to Rashbam. Chaim was just Mechavit to Rashbam. Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbeinu Tam's older brother. Tam and the Rashbam were both grandsons of Rashi from the same daughter. Rabbeinu Tam was the younger brother. Rashbam was the older brother. We began to know the Rashbam plenty, particularly in Bava Basra, where from most of the Cheskel Abatim and on, he is the parish in place of Rashi. But here, he's actually called by Tosis. Take a look at Tosis in Daf Kuf. The second Tosis Hamani, Nero Abenu Shmuel. It would seem to Abenu Shmuel, probably the Rashbam. He was not the only, Rashbam was not the only Baal Tosis named Shmuel. Shmuel may have Vera as well. But Tosis Abenu Shmuel said the following. Now, I should tell you, not all the Rishonim agree with the man with Shmuel, but this is certainly the dominant view in Tosfos. Midaloka Amar Ella Hamani Sumchasi. Tosfos, Rabbi Shmuel said there's one missing word. We should have said Ella. First, we want to give an answer. You know why it's Yachlok because no Muchsak. But then that didn't work because even if there's no Muchsak, it's still a Marakama. So God said, oh, the answer is Sumchas. Sumchas is Yachlok. So Lachar, that means we're rejecting everything. And we don't need all the Marak, no Muchsak. Who cares? Sumchas says Yachloku, right? So that you would have usually, as you know, and this is one of the many places where Tosis relies on this methodological assumption about how Gemara works, is that when you have an answer, as Gemara gives an answer and then rejects it in favor of a different Teretz, the Gemara will use the word Ella, which in that context probably means rather. Not accept, but rather. Had a kasha, we gave a teretz, and we say that teretz is no good. So no, instead, rather, say a different teretz. Ella. So we didn't say Ella. We didn't say Ella, so it sounds like we are not rejecting the first answer, right? The first answer was Shmuel, who said, Omedes ba'agam. So the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rishon, points out that if the Amora Shmuel, Omedes ba'agam, seems to have not been rejected. We're still holding on to Omedes ba'agam. Why? But we have Sumchas. He says, Mamam to Mustafa Cholkin. So what does the Rabbi Shmuel say? Mashma de lo hadr be my duk, Omedes ba'agam. If we didn't say Ella, it would seem that we're not chozer. We did not back out of Mima de Ukma, the original Ukimta Teretz, that Omedes ba'agam. Hadar, by the way, is Aramaic for chozar. That's because often a Zion in Hebrew will show up as a Dalit in Aramaic. That's why Hadar is like Chazar. So we're not being Chazar. We're not retracting. We're not recanting the Shmuel's Teretz. Shmuel's Okimto Mez Ba'agam. So what? Why? Now the Rashbam says, but why? But Sumcha says the Din Masafik Maman is Yachloku. So why does it matter whether anyone's a Muchsik or not? Sumcha doesn't care about all that Muchsik business. He believes in Yachloku. So what do you see? Says Tosis. You see that it's not true. You see that. So I would have thought that in Simchas' world, rule number one is Yachlof. That's what we would have thought. So the Tosis says, but it can't be.
Because if Simchas believes that Rulam was Yachloku, even if there's a Muchzuk, Yachloku is stronger than Muchzuk. So then once we introduce Simchas, there should have been Ella Hamani Simchas. Who, I don't care, Muchzuk or Omedes Ba'agav, what does it matter? The Mishnah is following Simchas. But the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara did not say Ella. So that's what, I got to read this Tosfos. Let's back up again. Let's start from the top of Tosfos again. Nero Avinu Shmuel. It seems to Rabbeinu Shmuel, mi deloka amar, ella hamani sumchusi, from the fact that the Gemara did not say, open quotes, ella hamani sumchusi, we did not use the word ella, so therefore Rabbeinu Shmuel says, mashma deloha darbe, mi ma deokam mezba'agam. It would seem that we're not being choser from the original teretz of mezba'agam, meaning even sumchus, even though sumchus says yachloku, in order to say Cholkin, you need Omeres Ba'agam and Simchas. Meaning, V'lo Ayri Simchas Ela B'Shein Muchzuk Lo Zeh V'lo Zeh. Wow! From the fact that there's no Ella, you see that even in Simchas' world, rule number one is you follow the Muchzuk. If there's no Muchzuk, so then, rule number two is Yachlok. But, again, the Rashbam's diuk is from a single missing word. The fact that the Gemara didn't say Ella Simchasi means even Simchas would only say Achloku when it's a Mez Ba'agam. The teretz is the Mishnah Torah Mez Ba'agam and it's following Simchas. Meaning, but Simchas himself agrees if the cow is in my backyard, even Simchas agrees it's not Yachloku. I'm the Muchzuk, I win. But if the cow, or more precisely the calf, is out in the forest, in the public land, so there's no muchzuk, then he says, Yachloku. Aval hecha de muchzuk, if there is a muchzuk, mo de simchas dal idach la viray. Well, and so now let's just encapsulate. So what's the machloka simchas and the chachamim? So from Bava Kama, it seems the chachamim is simple. Is the one and only rule muchzuk? Or is the one and only rule Yachloku? But Rabbi Shmuel points out, you get to Bava Metzia Daf Kuf, clearly that's not the case. So what's the Machlokas? Machlokas is not what's rule number one, Machlokas is what's rule number two. That everyone agrees, if there's a Muchzuk, Muchzuk wins. Let's say there's no Muchzuk. So for Simchas, rule number two is Yachloku. For the Chachamim, the Gemara and Bava Kama didn't mention, but the Gemara and Bava Metzia does. For Chachamim, rule number two is Marakama. Machlokas is, Simchas sounds like, doesn't recognize the validity of Marakama. He says, if there's no Muchzuk, rule number two is Yachloku. And the Chacham say, no. If there's no Muchzuk, rule number two is, follow the Marakama. Now, we're left with a couple of open questions. One of which is Tosis Kasha later, and Tosis, they want to know, there could be another way to handle this, we'll get to that. Another logical question is, what would the Chacham say is rule number three? Let's say there's no Muchzuk, and there's also no Marakama. Then what? So for that, we're going to need to go weiter in this sugya and move to the Gemara in Bava Basra as well. We will pick up with this Mitzvah next time.